Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Happy Project Podcast. My name is Becky. Sitting next to me is Cedric Sky City, whom you may not have seen for some time.
What's up?
But we are back for the podcast.
Well, the people haven't seen you, I mean, up until recently.
That's true. Okay, yeah, so that's we've been right. Sort of both of us have been incognito.
MIA a little bit.
Oh, MIA is a better way to say it than
incognito. Like, what are we doing? Like,
hiding around. Yeah, so we're back. I know we had sort of a hiatus. You probably have heard the previous episodes that we had Kayong, but now we've got Cedric again, once more. On the podcast.
Once more, as if I'm a guest. Oh, he's back.
Yeah, he's back. You're back.
Just visiting.
But we had a very busy, monstrously, heinously busy past 2 months.
Yeah.
So finally, things are kind of winding down a little bit. But we are always keeping the Happy Project, the podcast, you in mind. And we are always waiting, anticipating for that day where we can come back to the studio and record another episode together.
Yeah, and that day is today.
That day has come. And that is today. Well, today we are going to talk about a school here in Korea. And it is an international school of some sorts, but it's not quite what you would initially think as international school. Because if you have the term international school in Korea, it carries a sort of nuance behind it. The international schools tend to be more geared for wealthier students, right? Or from wealthier families, just simply because of the qualifications required to enter the school or because of how much it costs to attend the school, right? But you can always guarantee there's going to get a great education. There's going to be kids from all different nations and nationalities here. And so that's kind of like what you think of when you hear 국제학교 or international school, right? Of course, you also have the traditional Korean schooling system. But the school we're going to talk about falls somewhere in the middle, if we just kind of say it simply. But this school is called 해밀학교. 해밀학교. 해밀 school. And actually, I was a bit surprised that quite a number of people have heard of 해밀 school, especially when I posted it on like halfkorean.com or some of those other Facebook groups. It seems like a lot of people were aware of this school.
Yeah, I think more people are aware than we were. Than we were aware.
Well, I'd heard of it a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
but I never like did any deep dive in it. I knew it existed.
Sure.
You know, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I remember hearing about some school that she started. She being the person that started, obviously, who is. Insuni.
Yeah.
See, I ruined the dramatic.
Yeah, we wanted to make it like da da da, but that's good.
Right. So, thank you, Captain Obvious. Okay. Yeah. So I remember hearing about it a couple years ago, but I never looked into it. You know, I just thought, oh, that's very cool. But we got a chance to actually visit the school.
Yeah.
And it was really cool because I remember I called my mom after. I didn't even tell her before we went. I just told her right after.
Yeah.
And she, one, she's a very big fan of Insuni.
Who isn't?
Right. And then two, she already knew what the school was as well. So that was a little surprise. I'm like, oh, I guess the school
Where does your mom get her news? She doesn't even know how to use the phone.
No, TV.
Oh, she's got Korean
Satellite TV. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so she just like cycles through, I guess, her 10, 15 channels.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's cool that she knew about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know Insuni will go out sometimes on talk shows or she'll do like special interviews. And oftentimes she mentions the school. And it's a very unique thing in Korea to have this kind of school. So naturally it garners some kind of, you know, it gets a lot of interest and attention, which can only be a good thing in this case for the school. But let's break it down a bit. Let's explain 해밀학교 for our listeners. Well, they first the name 해밀. So I looked up the name 해밀. And it basically means 비 온 뒤 맑게 된 하늘, which is basically after the rain, the bright sky, which is a really beautiful and symbolic name, I think, for this school, like especially when you consider the kinds of students that are attending. But 해밀학교 was started, I found in 2013. You know, it hasn't been so long. And it was founded by the singer Insuni.
Insuni, who happens to be half Korean and half black. Her father was an American soldier. So, yeah, but she grew up in Korea. And she grew up under her mother's influence. I don't think father was in the picture. So she, by all accounts, is just Korean.
Yeah.
Very Korean. Yeah.
She's such a cool lady. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain her.
No, like, yeah, she has a presence. She has a presence. And her smile is
so beautiful.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
She's like, I don't want to be a fangirl. You know, I try not to fan over people. Prior to meeting her, I always thought like, oh, Insoonhee, if I met her, would be like the pinnacle of what Happy Project could do. Mm-hmm. You know, she's original generation of half Koreans here in Korea, right. Born, raised in Korea. And prior to her, I don't think I've ever met any of the first gen, come to think of it. Mm. Yeah. And I know that notoriously a lot of mixed Koreans of the older generation just either keep to themselves, mm-hmm. not so visible. But Insoonhee, of course, as we know, she's a very famous singer. And she became really famous from her song, 아버지, mm-hmm. which means father. So, yeah, she's always kind of had a presence in my mind when I think about, oh, half Koreans in Korea. Insoonhee is someone I always wanted to meet her.
Definitely. I mean, I guess she would probably be the most popular or most famous
Well, there's Yoon Mi-rae too.
Yeah, but Yoon Mi-rae is kind of like the next generation after mm-hmm. Insoonhee. But I think because
Yoon Mi-rae is your age, isn't she?
She might be a little older, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but probably we're more similar generation.
Right.
But I think Insoonhee touches all generations. And yeah. I think everyone knows who she is. I remember like when we posted about the school, like everyone was like commenting on my post, and I'm sure they probably commented on the Happy Project post as well, but like people who are young and older were all like, oh my gosh, that's amazing, she's awesome. So I think she touches like every generation of people who are either Korean or are into like Korean entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's definitely, by that account, I think one of the most famous half Koreans.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense too, given her background, her upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, she'll talk about it occasionally, her incredible hardships that she faced in her childhood. And now she has reached this point of success and respect. And so she had given, I had watched this interview about why did she start Hime School. And she said, it's time for me to give back what has been given to me. And, you know, she learned that approximately 28% of mixed kids who are growing up in Korea will graduate from high school. And that's an abysmally low number, especially in such a highly educated country like here in South Korea. So she said when she heard that, she got a shock. And she just really wanted to help give these kids a future. Because especially in Korea, think about it in Korea, how education is so incredibly valued. You can get multiple degrees, certificates, masters, and still struggle to find work here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you're growing up already with, let's say, racial discrimination against you, on top of that, you don't have an education here, there's not really many options.
No, the odds are totally stacked against you.
Right.
In that case.
So she, with, I imagine, all of these things in mind, her own background and her now desire to give back to a community that she knows very intimately the hardships that they go through, decided to establish this school. So she established Hime Hakyo with the mixed kids in Korea in mind. And she wanted to basically create a way for the kids to be able to build their roots here in Korea. So right now, they only take middle schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. So in Korea, there's something called Sachungi. Sachungi, I guess, is, what is that, like puberty, I guess?
I guess so.
Sachungi, right?
Yeah.
Sachungi is a very volatile time, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think prior to that, you're kind of in the arms of your parents. And you may be too young to necessarily feel like the societal differences that you might be experiencing. And then once you get to high school, all of those volatile periods, if you're not taken care of well during then, I think it can be almost too late sometimes, or you might go through a lot of more extra difficulties. So she said during Sachungi, during 중학교, middle school time, was when she wanted to get these kids to help them build relationships, to help them learn Korean fluently, for one, to help them build a better connection with both of their parents, both of their cultures and sides, and also the surrounding community, the Korean community. Because in Korea, a lot of times, people later on, it's about who you know as opposed to what you know, really.
Mm-hmm.
So people will be friends with people from elementary school. You know, you'll be friends with those same people from elementary or middle school for the rest of your life and really can rely on them because those relationships go deep. In Korea, we have like, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's like a number of questions you can ask in order to create familiarity. right? So for example, age.
Right.
Age is one thing. Oh, what age are you? Oh, you're also the same age. Oh, 동갑이네. 그러면 친구하자. Like, we can be friends.
Right.
That's a way to create familiarity. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, oh, what your last name is. Oh, Kim. I'm also Kim. You know, like, oh, in that case, what Kim background are you? Like, you can ask her those things. Oh, 그러면 우리는 가족이네. Like, mm-hmm. oh, we might be family then. That's another way to create familiarity. 고향, where your hometown from. Mm-hmm. And so all of these things are like establishing markers of creating intimacy, familiarity, being part of the 우리, being part of the whole. And so a lot of these kids might not have some of those familiarity markers. So during right. this middle school time, her hope is to help them to establish those familiarities, to build their roots, to make Korean friends from a young age, to get connected with the mm-hmm. community around them, to be able to speak the language so that they can be part of 우리 when they get older and become part of Korean society.
Right.
So this is the purpose of middle school. So let's describe the school a little bit more. Like, what does it look like? And do you know how many students they have and those kind of things?
Yeah, so the school is pretty much one, I guess depends on how you look at it, but it's a, you know, small to medium sized building, mm-hmm. but it has, you know, their auditorium, has their classrooms, mm-hmm. and it's really nice, actually.
It has a great feeling.
Yeah, so it's just a very nice little small intimate school.
Yeah.
And we were able to visit the auditorium mainly, and we were in a couple of the offices. Uh-huh. So they actually made it, you know, technologically up to date, mm-hmm. and so that was really cool. And then there's also another building mm-hmm. right next to it. And that is the dormitory.
Because they just built it.
Right, right. So the kids, the students are able to actually stay there during the semesters because some of the kids, they come from far away. So
yeah.
like a daily commute would not be practical.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is just a way to provide the kids housing while
yeah.
they're able to study. And there's also like my favorite thing. They had a little soccer field.
Oh, it's
it was like a little mini soccer field. It was really cute. And a track around
the track.
It. So, yeah, cute. So it's nice. So it's kind of like up a hill, sort of nestled in the countryside,
yeah.
kind of near.
It is really out there.
Yeah, it's near the mountains and everything.
Right.
So, it's away from a lot of distraction.
Mm.
So I think kids can just, by nature, just
bond.
Yeah, they could just bond and
yeah.
not be distracted with a lot of stuff. They don't, you know, there's not like honey jumps or mm-hmm. like convenience stores mm-hmm. around or like malls or anything like that.
Because
yeah. I think a lot of kids in the city, they're able to get around by themselves.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, it could be a good thing, of course, mm-hmm. but, you know, it can also be maybe distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's there. They have to get to know each other.
Mm.
And I think with the kind of atmosphere that Insuni and the staff and faculty create, is one of love and,
mm.
you know, one of friendship.
Yeah.
Which is what I think we saw.
Yeah, absolutely.
The short time we're there.
Like, Insuni was there and she hugs all the children.
Right.
She even hugged us.
Yeah, like, we walked in. So I had no idea. Like, I thought she was just going to be in the office, right? Like, Godfather style, like, her back turned against us and then they're going to take us in there to...
She wheels the chair around and her arms are crossed. She's got a cat in her lap. Yeah, and we'd be like... We're here.
Right, right. But as soon as we walked in the door, she comes and she, you know, she greets the people that brought us there first because
yes,
she knows
close.
Them. And then she was like, oh, come here. And she hugged you first.
Well, she hugged you first.
Did she?
Yeah, she hugged you first.
Oh.
She's like, oh, hello. And then she saw me and she's like, oh, 너도 안아줘야지. You have to hug you too. And I was
right.
like, hello.
Yeah, so that immediately, at least for me, just sort of broke down any sort of
That's
discomfort.
Very unusual.
It is. Like, because in Korean, yeah, you don't
you
just
don't
be hugging
hug,
people.
No.
Especially when you first meet them.
Exactly.
You bow,
yeah.
right? And especially with her, like she's, you know, much, I guess.
She's much older.
Much
she's
older,
much more established.
Right. In, you know, Korean society's eyes.
Yes.
So that was a surprise.
It's kind of surreal
mm-hmm.
thinking about that how significant
cool.
that is, you
yeah.
know, to break down that barrier between us
yeah.
already from the very beginning.
I just think it was that black side.
She's really
out.
Remarkable. She really is.
Yeah.
Oh, she's like so cool. Okay, I won't get into how cool she is, but she's really cool. So this school, like you mentioned, is way out in the countryside
mm-hmm.
and it is really beautiful out there. But again, it's it's really like Shigor, really countryside area. But it's a good thing for this case because, like you said, no distractions. And another thing that Insuni had said is that it's a way for also the kids to get connected with the community around them. I think in the city, you know, people are living kind of independent lives. But here, the community can help them out, can come together. They interact with people around them. Families will come. And recently they did like a Kimjanging. Kimjang making kimchi, which is a really communal event. So she said like the moms would come and the people nearby came together and staff and teachers and students, and they all made kimjang together and even gave us a big box. So we have a huge box of kimchi mm-hmm. right now in our house. So we got to figure out how to eat all that. But that's what the students made. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting this experience, like really Korean community cultural experiences, which come to think of it, even a lot of kids here who grow up in the city don't experience kimjang,
right?
You know, it's kind of an old school thing. We're out in the countryside,
right?
Yeah
it's more of a neighborhood thing, but when you're living in apartments here, you don't really have, you know, that neighborhood feeling,
right? Mm-hmm. 그거 없지. So yeah, it's a very really cool atmosphere. They worked really really hard for the year since establishing it to build to what they are today. I don't know all the exact details, but it started initially at this small hanok, only like 4 or 5 students working there or learning there and sleeping there. And then it grew and they had a separate warehouse where the boys would sleep, for example. And then as it grew more and more, they had to find, you know, a bigger place for the students to stay. And so finally they found their current location, which used to be an old school. And so Insuni apparently bought out the land. They tore it down and rebuilt this new school. And now I think they've got like 60 students. But ever since they've established, the school has only grown bigger and bigger and bigger, mm-hmm. which I think is a really a sign that they're doing something right. And two, as the news gets out that this school exists, more and more of these kids are going to come out of the woodwork. And that can only mean betterment for the overall society. But I guess we'll get more into that later on. So this is only for middle school students. And that's, you know, the reason is because middle school is a very significant time and they just don't have the resources to handle high school, I think. And high school is probably when they go to regular Korean school. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably when it happens. And elementary school, Insuni said that they should be in the arms of their mom, is how she described it. And then it's split by language level, not by grades.
Right, which is interesting. And I still don't understand how that works.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
The transition between elementary and middle, but... obviously, they have their plan and how to get the kids prepared for high school. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, some of the kids, not everyone, not all the students are half Korean there, but, you know, most of them are. And they, you know, they have different Korean language ability. Like some of them grew up in Korea, but others, they've only been in Korea for a couple of years. Mm-hmm.
Or even less time.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, their Korean may not be as strong. So that is the reason why, mm-hmm. because everyone is just, you know, just at different language levels.
Really? Yeah. I mean, actually, we'll talk a little bit more about the kids later, why it might be, you know, when they've come to Korean language levels mm-hmm. and all of that. We'll talk a little bit more about their situations. But let's talk a little bit about us actually visiting the school.
This girl was so nervous.
Do you know what, Cooks? After the visit, which mm-hmm. was only a couple of days ago, we had like 2 days where I just slept. I couldn't remember a thing afterwards. I think I was trying to process mm-hmm. everything, but I was so nervous.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely the highlight, I think, for both of us this year, for sure. But I think we sort of approached it differently and we had different sorts of feelings towards it. You were...
Well, because you weren't expected to be the main speaker. That's why.
That's true. And I didn't have to speak in Korean either.
Yeah.
So no. I mean, in all fairness, I understand why you were nervous and I would be too. But I think for me, I was more excited and I was just like, you know what? I just want to meet her and I want to meet the kids. And I love being with that age group of kids. Elementary, not so much, you know, I don't want to be around them. But middle school and high school, I'm used to it.
You're so good with them.
Well, I'm used to it. You know, I've worked with kids in different contexts for many years. So it was quite natural for me. But I think for you, because you were thinking we had to do a little presentation, but you know, we also... weren't really 100% sure what they were expecting.
Let's explain the backstory, how we reached this point of panic.
That makes sense.
Okay. So we it was like a couple months ago, I gave a lecture at the Royal Asiatic Society.
Yeah.
And through that lecture, this professor, very well-known doctor, scientist, he's pretty world-renowned, hears this lecture and then reaches out to us. He says, I want to meet you guys. And, you know, I love what you're doing. He's also got mixed kids, you know, and he spent many years in the U.S. So we met up with him. That's when I realized, oh, snap, this guy's really legit. That's so cool that he knows our mm-hmm. stuff. During lunch, he mentions so casually, right? He's like, do you know the singer Insuni? And we were like, yes. And he says, oh, well, you know, she has this school, and he just talks a little bit about the school and what she's doing. And he just says, it would be great if you met her and encourage her. And we were like, sure.
Right. That's pretty much all he said, right?
Right. And then mm-hmm. he's like, okay, I'll see if I can make maybe a lunch together with us.
Right.
Next thing I know, he calls us, says, can you come to the school on this day? Maybe Insuni will be there. Maybe she won't be. But you can meet the kids and meet the school. It'll be fine. It's like, great. So I thought we were going to drive down to the school, maybe do a little school tour, maybe say hi to the kids a little bit. So I was thinking. Oh, then he follows up again. He's like, let's talk about the school event, like what you're going to do there. I think you should talk to the kids, you know, just briefly get to know them. And this is exact words. He says, and then you can do, well, you know what? You guys are professionals, so I'll leave it to you. So I had zero details. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no, he thinks I have a big presentation prepared or something. So I had no idea what to expect. Also, we didn't know if Insuni was going to be there or not.
Right.
A couple of days prior, he says she's not going to be there. Then the day of when we're driving there, he says she is going to be there. Mm-hmm. And so my panic is slowly heightening. And you're like, oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. Just talk for a little bit, you know, and then, you know, they don't expect anything much. Then we get to the school. Insuni is there. And then head of school sits and talks to us. And then the professor is sharing, like, these two wonderful individuals are going to be encouragement to you and inspire the students. And it was like kind of built up mm-hmm. suddenly. And then the head of school is like, okay, all the kids are waiting in the auditorium. Let's go. They're waiting for you. We'll give you 1 hour. And at that moment, I think I grabbed your hand.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I say? 1 hour, what do I say? You're like, well, just talk about the project. You were so chill. No,
I was like, just be yourself. Like, I was cool because, like, I knew that.
If I be myself in that panic moment, who knows what's going to come out?
Yeah. I mean, I knew that within both of us, we had more than enough to be able to share and to inspire the kids, hopefully. I think the biggest challenge would be just the translating because I'm not at a level where I could just present in Korean. Mm. So, of course, I needed to rely on you.
But in the end, that worked out really well. Mm. The fact that you were speaking in English.
Yeah, because
in retrospect.
Yeah, because some of the kids actually preferred English over Korean. They were more comfortable with that. So
I should have asked that at the beginning. You know.
Yeah.
I kept thinking hindsight, about that.
Yeah. But no, it went very well. So like we walked in and then there's this big group of kids.
They're all just sitting there staring at us.
Yeah. If you go to the Happy Project Instagram and you see the picture with the kids.
Yeah,
that's pretty much that's how it looked when we walked in.
Right.
So because we were thinking, oh, maybe it's in a classroom or something.
Oh, right. They're all sitting there like perching a bunch of birds.
They had the two stools there. They had the microphone. So I was like, okay, let's go.
You know, head of school, Insuni, and the professor mm-hmm. were like, oh, we'll just sit in the back, you know, just listen a little bit. And they come in and sit right in the very front. Insuni staring up at me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, like, what do I do right now? I had quite a panic moment, mm-hmm. like right before I grabbed the mic.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
Of course, you were so chill.
I was chill. But again, if I knew I had to present in Korean, I'd be totally different. I'd be freaking out.
Yeah.
But I knew that worst case scenario, you know, I could come in and you know, just say some stuff
well,
in English.
Well, you rescued and you'd be able to translate. At least twice. Yeah. Because, so basically, I'm trying not to think too much about it, you know, because it was so crazy. But like trying to do everything in Korean, because I give like a 강의 발표, like lectures in English mm-hmm. far more often than I do in Korean.
And phenomenally.
Usually if I'm speaking in Korean, it's typically with people who also speak English. And so we can kind of give and take back and forth. So I'm kind of like a perfect Konglish speaker or translating. I'm much better with translating.
Right.
You know, because it's like fragment. But trying to pull in huge cohesive thoughts in Korean sentences, and anyone who speaks Korean, you know, the grammar is flipped. Mm-hmm. So you can't be thinking in your mind, this is what I'm going to say in English and then translate into Korean. It's got to be pretty simultaneously. So there were so many instances where I was like going one direction. I completely forgot where I was going by the end of it because the sentence was so long. And I'll be like, 네, 그렇죠. 그쵸? 맞아요. 그렇다고? Like, mm-hmm. and it has nothing to do with what I had just said.
Ah,
I was
right.
so embarrassed.
That's all right.
And, you know, I felt really strongly in that moment. Insuni is judging me. I need to get more fluent.
Oh. No, it was more than fine. It was great.
Pain in my heart thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we could have kept going. I think we took up the whole hour.
More than an hour.
Yeah. And I think at that point, we were more worried about, are we overstepping our time?
That's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, because, you know, we did our presentation. I don't know how long that was. Mm. And then we opened it up for questions.
Yeah.
And we didn't know how many questions we were going to get. We didn't know how responsive the students right. would be. But when we got the first question, and then the second question, we were kind of like, oh, okay.
They were like, 혹시 두 분이 어느 사이세요? Like, what is your relationship? And we were like, we're engaged. And then that opened the box. And
yeah. I mean, I thought, I was like,
first confessed.
Well, I guess they're not going to be interested in like.
They're middle schools.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I guess there's, I was actually surprised at the depth the conversation went.
Oh, yeah. No, after those first two questions,
yeah.
like the third question came and I was like, okay, wow, we're hitting something.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then, yeah, so they asked some really good questions.
Yeah.
Some very personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were able to just share our perspective.
It was really good. It was mm-hmm. actually a really good time once I got over my initial panic. But there was maybe one or two more points when I was speaking and then I stopped halfway through. And then I was like, so do you have anything you'd like to say? Opa? And then you just jumped right in, which really saved me.
Yeah.
Because I ran out of words.
I mean, that's the thing. Like when two people are presenting like that and sort of, it's, I guess you could say it's spontaneous. We knew what we wanted to talk about. But like, you know, you have time while the other person's speaking to like, okay.
To process here, what's happening. Yeah. And then halfway through is when I realized, you know what? Some of these kids don't speak Korean. Because I was speaking everything in Korean. And then one kid asks us in English, when you first came to Korea, what was the hardest thing? And that question stands out to me because when I'm asked that question by just like 한국인, 한국인, like Korean, Koreans, when they ask me that question, my feeling is they want, it's kind of a politeness or it's kind of just like, it feels an emphasis. Oh, you didn't, born and raised in Korea, right? Mm-hmm. So I might feel that slight nuance, like, okay, they want to know when you first came to Korea, what was like? Oh, they want me to say, I love the kimchi. And, you know, I was interested in this and this Korean culture. Because, you know, it's kind of like that separation between Korean and 외국인. But when that kid asked me, it was a much different feeling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the feeling was that kid is genuinely wanting to know because that kid has also just come to Korea. And now will be moving forward in his life here in Korean. And what was hard for us, how did we overcome it, was more the feeling I had out of his question. So it was a very peculiar, you know, instance. So their questions ranged from who first confessed to the other to when someone is discriminatory against you, what is your first feeling?
Yeah.
Which, no, not that I would, any Korean student would ever ask me that.
Mm-hmm.
Only someone who has experienced that would ask that question, you know? And it was just like, it was a very powerful moment, I think.
Right. And I feel like a lot of the students, or hopefully all of them, they were able to relate. And we were probably one of the first, if not the first, representations of them in adult form that came and presented to them, outside of Insuni, of course. And I think that meant a lot to them.
I think so, too.
And, the you know, I think the way that we could tell is after the presentation was done, like, they all came up to us, and were just, you know, they were adorable, of course, and they just kept asking us more questions, and they kept, like, wanting to basically shout out where they're from and
that
their
was
mix.
So, like, so moving. I'm kind of, like, okay, thinking about it, because, you know, prior to those kids, I've never really met any kids or, like, other mixed Koreans that so proudly want to say they're mixed, you know? And I think maybe the school is doing something right, for sure, to show, like, this is something to be proud of, not something to hide. And also wanting to share it with us because they knew we'd understand. And it created, like, a kind of bond or, like, a connection, which was just so cool to see that.
Yeah.
You know? So there were kids that had Chinese parentage, Russian parentage, of course, Malay, Japanese. There was one girl, Korean-Japanese.
Philippines,
yeah, Vietnamese. And of course, with varying levels of language fluency. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I realized, oh, actually, this was very perfect having English and Korean, because some kids might be able to grasp one better than the other, or having both languages simultaneously can help for people who don't speak either language fluently. So yeah, that was really, really, really interesting to see. Let's maybe we should talk a little bit about the kids themselves, like what kind of kids are going there, mm-hmm. what might be some of their situations, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know what the percentages are, but you know, there are, you know, a portion of them who come from these migrant marriages, mm-hmm. where they're, you know, might be the migrant bride marrying a Korean, just a Korean man, mm-hmm. a lot of times older Korean men. And we covered this
in a previous episode.
Yeah, in a previous episode. So definitely go back if you're curious to learn more about that, if you haven't listened to it.
Yeah.
And so these marriages comes with challenges, obviously, of maybe language, you know, differences or language struggles between the husband and wife, because say, for example, if the Korean husband married someone from Vietnam who just grew up there, you know, and brought them to Korea, a lot of times they can't really communicate to each other. And that's a big problem. So that creates a lot of tension in the house. And so with the kids growing up in that, it could be very, very difficult.
Right.
And, you know, I can only imagine how hard it is for like the kids to try to relate to one or even both parents.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. If your parents can't communicate with each other, you know, and some of these kids might not even speak either language perfectly fluently either. So it's somewhere like this mishmash in between something space. Of course, we have the migrant bride situations, and then, of course, a lot of factory workers.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of guess that they're not coming from very well-to-do families. So they have those struggles that are happening as well. Some of these kids have backgrounds of abusive homes. Right. And or they have faced bullying in their community or their previous school because they're not fully Korean or not able to communicate well. Some of these kids have grown up primarily in their mother's country. It's typically a mother's country, which is not Korea. And then they come to Korea later on, I guess, to claim citizenship, or maybe it's just the parents are reuniting in Korea. For some reason, they'll come back to Korea, or they'll come to Korea. It might be their first time not speaking Korean. And now it's just like, okay, good luck, you know? So there are those kind of hardships that these kids face as well. And this school just, you know, embraces them, brings them in, teaches them Korean. And a number of the kids at the school are also just full Koreans, born and raised in Korea. And the reason being, she didn't want it to be like purely just multicultural school, because it's important to, one, build those connections at a young age, you know, with people in the Korean society already. So you just become part of a fabric of the Korean society. And two, having those Korean students there interacting at such a young age with other mixed kids, it helps to eliminate those biases that can be easily ingrained in you if you're growing only in a 100% Korean society. So I also feel like not only is this beneficial for the multicultural kids who are growing up in this school, but for the Korean students who are attending here, to help be part of the next generation that will break down these biases against mixed kids and multicultural families.
Right.
Yeah, so very fascinating school. I guess let's talk about now maybe some of the needs for this school. Like, running this kind of school is not easy, and there are a number of reasons for that.
Yeah, I mean, a couple right off the bat, they do need some good role models, right? So like we mentioned, Becky and I were probably one of the few, you know, if there are anyone else besides us who kind of represented them that they could relate to, look up to. So they need more of that, because obviously in Korea, there aren't too many people like us, especially in influential positions or in a position to be able to speak to, teach, or to inspire.
Or meet them personally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one thing that obviously that they need. And I think, you know, the teachers, they do a phenomenal job, and I'm sure they, you know, they show them a lot of love and care, but it's something different when there's someone that looks like you or has gone through a lot of the same experiences when they're in your life. So I think role models is something that they need. And also language skills. You know, they need to improve their Korean, of course.
But at the same time, they should also, something that the school encourages is to also gain fluency in the other language that's spoken in their home as well.
Right.
Because this happens especially to kids, like in our case, grow up outside of Korea, one of the languages is kind of pushed down. Mm-hmm. And so you don't grow up learning it. And consequently, you cannot have the same kind of bond oftentimes with the parent who does not speak the father's language fluently, right?
Right.
So you might feel pulled to one side or the other, or you might not know one parent as well as you know the other. And I had read here, head of school was saying, we really want to encourage and inspire the students to learn both languages fluently to have a good connection with both of their parents. Mm. You know, so it's not just learning Korean, but also encouraging them to learn the other language as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, perhaps one of the more important, not more important, but one of the bigger things that the school needs is financial help, I think, because from my understanding, and you could probably chime in because I think you know a little bit more than I do, but this school has been primarily funded, at least started and, you know, continuously funded mostly out of Insuni's
pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure she would, you know, appreciate some sort of help and probably more so from, Korea, like the government eventually. But you know, up until now, she's been coming out of pocket a lot. You know, they'll have sponsors and they'll have people that'll come and help. Mm-hmm. But I think she sort of carried most of that burden.
Yeah. And I'd like to point out, cause we didn't say this before, this school is free. So these students come for free education and free boarding. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. So because originally they tried to, you know, have a cost to come because it's hard to run a school for free like that, especially about teachers and staff and pay and all of that. And so they had a small fee initially, but some of the students just couldn't afford it. And there were many difficulties. And if that fee was in place, it was a huge stumbling block for getting these kids to have education. Mm-hmm. So she just did away with it entirely. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that is definitely something that I think they've been trying to get, you know, funding from, you know, the education office or from the government. And I don't know where they are with that, but all I know is they haven't received the funding that I feel like they deserve.
Totally.
You know, so, so they're probably still in the works with that. But as of right now, it's mostly Insuni and whatever outside help she gets, you know? So, that is something that would go a long way if they could get some sort of consistent funding or gifts to the school.
Yes.
I would imagine. Yeah.
It's interesting that it's not considered a public school yet by the government because still, it feels so niche, right? Oh, it's for the mixed kids. Schools to help the mixed kids survive if they can't afford to go to international school. And nobody's really saying like international school is still considered private, right? Those are private schools, right?
I would imagine so. They're definitely not public schools.
Right, so they're not funded by the Korean government. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Korean public schools. But Haemir Hakyo is an interesting space. It is filling a gap, this overlooked group of kids, this overlooked part of society, which is now innately part of the Korean fabric of society. It is now woven into Korean society, whether people openly acknowledge it or see it. It's there, these mixed kids, these multicultural families, and they are part of Korea's economic growth significantly. They are now going to be part of the way Korea's society and laws and public action, all of it. They are now part of that. And so they should also be getting this care from the government.
Yeah.
As Korean citizens. This public school, for me, I look at Haemir Hakyo and I just see, wow, that is the future of Korean's public schools. Having mixed kids and Korean kids, full Korean kids, attending school together from a young age.
Right. I mean, it's not like a little summer camp or a little camp that these kids go to. It's a legitimate school and they're trying to position these kids to be prepared to enter into the normal public high school setting. So, it would be nice and it would be right, in my opinion, in our opinion, for the government to support that. They should. I think it's their rightful duty to if they're going to support all the other public schools with these Korean kids. Why not this one?
Yeah.
Because the ultimate mission and the goal is the same. You know, the approach to it is a little different because of the needs of the kids, obviously, but the end goal is the same.
Yeah.
So that would be something that hopefully in the future they could secure.
Yes.
But as of right now, they don't have it.
Out where they're located as well, out in the countryside, they had said the school is one of, like, I think third or fourth biggest middle school in the countryside mm-hmm. already. It's so, it's big. It's a big school. And at the end of the year, they have like the amount of funding that's available for public schooling. And they know there's a lot of money left. Yet, Haemir Hakyo is not allowed to touch it or use it in any way. So they are still separated in some sense. But I think Insuni is, you know, obviously she's doing a really generous thing. But I also think she's on the right side of history here and how Korean society is going to move forward. Her intent, you know, when I read her interviews and articles and the school, of course, the intent is not to separate. The intent is never to separate these mixed kids from Korean society. In fact, this is the opposite. It's just creating that safe space to deal with extra issues that maybe mixed kids might have growing up in Korean society, eliminate the struggles of discrimination so that they're on a fair playing field, so that they can move forward in the next step as they get older to be part of Korean society and feel comfortable there. And, you know, that's key when Insuni talks about Korean military and talking to these kids. Are you going to go to military or not? You need to think about that. If you're going to grow up in Korean society, if you're going to get a job here, if you're going to be a Korean male here in Korea, accepted as Korean male, you should go to military. Really think about it.
And that was one question that came up too.
Yeah, it did come up. And so those kind
of are thinking about it.
Important topics, they are thinking about it, and it's in a different way, you know, than somebody who might be full Korean has to think about. So she's just creating that safe space. And it was really a big honor for us to come and talk to those kids, as distracted and weird as my presentation may have been. I hope in the end it was something good for them.
It was great.
Yeah. But Haemir Hakyo, I'm sure we are going to be talking about it more in the future. We actually just kind of want to put a bug in your ear for our listeners, because we know we have listeners from all over the world, and you yourself might have heard, oh, this kid is Korean and Vietnamese. I'm Korean and Vietnamese. Oh, this kid is Korean and Malay. I'm Korean and Malay. And some of those children may never have met somebody who is also Korean Malay like them. We also read out your messages to the students.
That's right.
That was really cool. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for writing in all those messages for the kids, whether they fully understood it or not. You know, I know it touched some of them very much to know that there are people out there who are also mixed Korean or maybe just invested in what's happening here, showing such love and care to these kids and words of encouragement. Also, I know some of you guys are interested in how to help this school. At the moment, it's still very early for us. We just met them, and, you know, we would have to talk with the head of school. We'd have to talk with Insuni and the professor to kind of figure out, okay, what would be something possible. But I feel like with you, our listeners, you, our viewers, you who are part of this community and have a share in this, have your own foot in this, who care about this, that's always the first step. I have to wonder if we here at Hafi Project do carry some kind of strength that we may be able to use in some positive way to these kids. So if you're out there thinking about it, you know, you can always let us know. We are also kind of cooking up ideas at the moment. And if you know anyone about financial sponsorship, of course, that's a big call out there. But who knows? Who knows who's listening? We've kind of run into our share of miraculous meetings with people. You can always get in touch at thehafiproject@gmail.com. If you have questions, you can email us there. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you can leave a comment. And if you know anyone would be interested in this topic, you can send them the podcast or the video for them to see as well. Most of the information on Haemir Hakyo, almost all the information, is in Korean. So we hope through this English speaking episode we would be able to share the news a little bit more. Yeah,
very good. I like it.
Since you said you like it, mm-hmm. I guess it's time for listener mail.
Listener mail.
So this is, I know it has been ages. This is just a really short one.
Okay.
And this is from somebody who has been listening to our podcast, following us. And basically she said, "Hey Becky, I love your podcast and this Instagram account. I, and I'm sure many other followers, would love to make a contribution to support the Haemir School. So please do keep us posted on any way we can help." That was weird. Any way we can help.
We can help.
Financially or otherwise. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for that message, short and sweet. And I mean, that kind of like, what's the word? Bolsters our whole episode.
Yeah,
pretty much,
I mean,
right?
It shows the support of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, this community is willing to come together and, and help and support.
Yes. Yeah, so in response to this message, of course, we're going to keep you posted. And as doors open, as we figure out what's possible, as we pave the way forward, we will be sure to bring you along on the ride and see maybe if there's something that you'd like to do as well. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at thehappyproject@gmail.com. Make sure you like, share, subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcasts. And we'll see you guys next time. We are The Happy Project.